courage to coach with Coach Terry Hayes and Dr. Lee Balcom, supporting you as you make an impact in the world through coaching. Brought to you by Impact Coaching Academy.
This is Lee Balcom. I'm with Terry Hayes. We are co-principals of Impact Coaching Academy, and you're with us on the Courage to Coach podcast. We're talking about how you move into coaching, and today we're talking about whether training is necessary. If you were with us on the last episode, we talked about what's a part of the coach, you know, just kind of that natural being of a coach. And if you're naturally a coach, why do you need training? So, Terry, let's talk some about what the importance is of this training process and what we can do about that.
Absolutely. And you know, and I have to say, I bet you people's eyes are rolling a little bit right now and like, of course you're going to say training is important because you run a training organization. But I will tell you,
let's go the other way.
Yeah, well, I will say
yes. We have a training organization because of how important it is.
Because of how important it is, exactly. Yes. And I will say that in reality, and you're, I'm going to prove this out, is that it is important, but far less of it than you probably think. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But I would say that, yes, training is absolutely essential for coaching because coaching is an evolving science. It is an evolving skill set. And it's important for initial training to make sure that you're clear on the skills, make sure that you're current on the skills. But then there's a backside training that comes later on because this is, you know, change is the only constant. But because this is a constantly changing profession, I think that ongoing training is also an important piece.
Yeah. Great. So we're finished with this.
We're done. Just listen to what I'm telling you. We're done.
But let's, I mean, I do find it, let's just talk about this because I was thinking about this the other day. What other profession would anybody decide to, I mean, to go into as a profession, not like, oh yeah, I coach my friends, but as a profession, would you go into and go, yeah, I don't think I really need to get ready for that profession. I mean, I'm not trusting my accountant who goes, yeah, I just kind of figure this out on the fly.
Please do not trust your accountant.
Go to the doctor and he's like, yeah, you know, let me pull out this book and figure it out as we go. Or a lawyer. I mean, where else is that? And I find it interesting that we have this as a recurring conversation in the coaching world.
Well, and I'll tell you, even I'm going to take something, and this is no slight to all the world's, you know, cupcake bakers. But even if you wanted to be a cupcake baker, there is no way you would open your doors until you felt you had a really quality cupcake product. Mm-hmm. Like you would bake batch after batch after batch after batch. You would probably, you know, invest in the best equipment and take some classes. And like, I can't imagine, you're right. I can't imagine any profession where you just assume I'm going to, you know, I know how to talk to people, which is, I think, what the base, kind of what the baseline is for why people question if they should get training. It's sort of like, nah, I talk to people. People think I'm smart. They think I'm easy to talk to. That's all I need.
Yeah.
And it's like that may be all you need to have good conversations, but that's not coaching.
Yeah. And I think you and I both have been kind of champions of this as being professionalized. I mean, that there is a place because I've seen other places where, and we won't dive into examples, but where people took it so lightly when they got into it, that it no longer has a good reputation. And, you know, it's interesting to me that if we want to guard this as a profession, that we don't want to look at the training aspect of it, the continuing education, which is a part of every training. I mean, every profession that I know of. And here is one of the things you and I've talked about is what's coming down the road. You know, is there going to be required certification, required licensure, that is down the road? And that plays in to how we prepare. So you've been around this. I've got a taxonomy, I think, of what the training world that I've noticed is, but I you've been more in it than me. How have you seen this evolve in terms of the training to profession?
Well, and it's not only how it has evolved, but what the writing on the wall is. So as the International Coaching Federation moves closer and closer to submitting to, which they have stated is very clearly their intent, submitting to the International Standards Organization, the core coaching competencies, they're seeking global standardization. There's a reason that they're seeking global standardization. They want to be able to put a stake in the ground. And then, by the way, they're not doing this alone. They're doing this in conjunction with conversation with coaches and coaching organizations all over the world to put a stake in the ground to say, we have self-regulated appropriately. Mm-hmm. We have come up with these set of criteria to increase consumer confidence, to hold coaches accountable. And so if and or when government regulation comes in, they are preparing themselves to be able to go, okay, here, we're already set. Mm-hmm. Like, you can just look at what we've already done. And
here's
that
your template.
Right. We've already done the work. We were ready for this. And that way we're really setting up ICF credentialed coaches and ICF trained, you know, coach, not trained by ICF, but in that body of work. We're setting those coaches up to be able to make that transition smoothly. And that to me shows the forethought of this is probably an eventuality. There's going to come a day where there's a tipping point or a consumer demand for there to be regulation. And whether that's because governments can go, oh, look, there's so many coaches now, we can make money, right? We can make money off these licensure things. Or whether enough people who are untrained cause problems, cause harm, and so that the consumer demand is, hey, somebody rein these folks in and get them under, you know, get them under some eyes. Being trained and being trained to align to the highest possible common standard is, I just think, smart thinking. Like, as far as, you know, was I like super excited? Oh my gosh, I can't wait to get my PCC. No. Right. When I first started out in coaching, I was like, wow, that seems like a whole lot of work.
Confusing. Yeah.
And, you know, but when I got into the profession, I was like, you know what? It just makes sense to go ahead and make sure I'm aligned to that. So I know that's a very long-winded, I'm dominating right now. You can interrupt me anytime.
part of my watching is how I see the bleed of credibility that, you know, I see it online. When there's you can be a coach and, you know, a weekend, I see it.
$37.
Yeah.
we'll
certify you. And and just recently, my wife and I were talking, we have somebody we know who, is a therapist who failed to get everything in for her licensure. And so her licensure is expired. She's unlicensed. And so she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And the suggestion was made to her that she could just call herself a coach, do the same thing, call herself a coach. And I'm sitting there going, okay, so the default is, you know, if we can't have licensure so I have mixed feelings about the licensure. I don't have mixed feelings. I don't want to see licensure, but I know there's one route to avoiding licensure, and I can even say why I don't want there to be licensure. But the reason, the only route to avoiding licensure long-term, if coaching is going to be a viable and clear profession, is if we self-regulate to the point that it's not necessary.
Correct. Yeah. As long as we focus on our self-regulation. And as a matter of fact, I'm very quick to correct people who say it's an unregulated industry. I'm like, no, it is a self-regulated profession. Mm-hmm. Like, let's language matters, and we are very self-regulated and trying very hard to maintain that standard. And I think that I'm right with you, right? I don't want to see licensure come for a multitude of reasons. I understand why it could. Like, I totally get that. But if, I mean, and this is the other thing, is when I first got into coaching, I was in my 30s. And my intention was to do this as a profession. So that means I will be doing this for, you know, I don't know, 30, 40 years maybe. And so if I'm going to do something for 30, 40 years, of course I'm going to continue to learn. Of course I'm going to continue to train. You know, there was this is like a full thing for me. I think that sometimes, and I think this is a bit of a blessing and a curse, I think that sometimes where we see pockets of individuals that are trying coaching on is where you're going to find a lot deeper trends of people not pursuing the coaching. It's almost like they want to come in and try and have coaching prove itself first. And, you know, can I make a living at this? Oh, I can. Okay, I'll go ahead and get trained. And it's unfortunate. And it's unfortunate because it's happening. It's fortunate because, well, quite frankly, if you don't get trained, most of them don't survive long.
Right.
And so they leave. Right. But yeah, I think that there's a misunderstanding that the industry, you have to come in and check the industry out and have it, you know, prove to yourself or have the industry prove to you that it's viable. And then you go get training. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you go get training to join the profession. You go get training to come in at a level that says, hey, I'm arriving as a professional. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's my equivalent. I've got several equivalents, but my equivalent is when I got into therapy. You know, I didn't go, oh, let me go see people in an office. And if that's going pretty well, I'll go get trained. You know, I spent years getting trained. And part of that was doing therapy under supervision. But so I was actually doing the work with close watch, not, oh, and so why did I get into that training? It's because I went, you know, people kept saying, you know, you're really good at listening to people. And mm-hmm. you know, so there was the listening piece was already there, but that doesn't make it skilled listening.
Right.
Yeah. So I spent a lot of years working through that before I ever could say that's my profession. That's my job. And then of course I pivoted away, but that's another story for another after all those years. But I think that that is more the route for professions. I'm pretty good with details. And so I'm going to go set up an accountant office. So that goes pretty well. I'm going to go get my accounting degree. We don't do that anywhere else.
Backwards, right?
Yeah. We don't do a pretty good job cutting into people. So maybe I'll, you know, after a while, go to med school and become
a surgeon. I don't want to know how you know that. I claim la, 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 la. I hear nothing.
tell you about my son and his friends who they decided one of them needed surgery on his shoulder. But that's a whole other story another day.
Yes, please.
And it didn't go well.
I want that story.
All the proof that we need to go to med school first before we try to do surgery. But back to the coaching.
Yeah.
And my concern is there's, and I've heard this from outside perspective. Mm-hmm. There is going to be an inflection point. And my concern is that many times people view coaching the way that some people view multi-level marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Truth. And unfortunately there are a lot of, and I'm going to use the word guru because I'm not going to use the word coach on purpose. There are a lot of gurus in our profession who are 100% about follow my program, make money. Mm-hmm. And the more of that that happens, one, it genuinely messes with people's psyche. I mean, it really truly gives new coaches and even veteran coaches these phantom comparison issues as well as like, oh, this is the norm. Don't you want the norm? Come get it. Mm-hmm. Like there's all sorts of.
And if you're not getting this,
you're failing.
There's something wrong with you.
Yeah, you're failing and there's something wrong with you. You must not want it bad enough.
Yeah.
Or don't make it important enough. Yeah, that's the other big one that I hear. So there's all sorts of reasons why I think that people actually default to business building training like as a priority over the skill set. And that I think is another big issue within our profession. Now, I am all for business building training. Entrepreneurs of every variety need business building training. If you're going to, you know, put your livelihood on the line and become an entrepreneur somewhere, of course you want to get some help and support with that. Why would you not? But don't like supplant that as being like, well, I'm really good at business. And so it doesn't matter what I sell. It doesn't matter, right? It's kind of that whole, it'll be beautiful. And they kind of run with it. And unfortunately, I think that that's another trend that we have a tendency to see is people who will sign up for every newsletter and follow every business guru thinking what they're getting is prepared for coaching. Mm-hmm. And what they're getting prepared for is business. Coaching is a whole different thing.
And I would debate whether they're actually getting prepared for business.
Well, yeah, that's a whole nother issue, right? how valid that is for actual business that they will want to do. That's a whole other thing. But yeah, the training. And it's super subtle stuff. I mean, I just had a training conversation last night. And this is with an individual who has already taken, I don't know, 100 and some odd hours worth of training at a couple of different locations, been exposed to a lot of stuff, done a lot of reading. But we were sitting there having a conversation about the old core competencies, meaning the pre-existing ones that were there for the first 25 years of the ICF versus the new updated ones and some of the subtle differences. And just getting into that conversation, the other individual was like, these are just layers I never even thought of. Like I never even contemplated the paradigm shifts and the subtle changes in language and the connection, like, or the reconnection of this point to this point. And, right. You know, and that to me is what validates training, is that the more that you understand, not learn, understand coaching, the easier it is to coach, the more your listening perks up and the more authentic and present you can be with your clients. Ipso facto, you have clients that achieve more quickly, and they are raving referral sources. Mm-hmm. Your life is easier, right? There's this long tail impact of training that I think gets missed a lot, which is we think we're supposed to, air quotes, supposed to get trained to grab the certificate, to like go out and go like, okay, I'm done, check, and then go. And that it just isn't the way it works. The more intelligently and consciously you invest in your training, and then take that and practice it, the better your entire success cycle is going to be. Like the whole, it benefits your practice, your clients, your marketing, all of it. You work less, legs less out of you. I mean, it's just a win.
Yeah. And obviously, I mean, you and I both being involved in coach training are for coach training. I mean,
sure. Yeah,
I can't hide that. We're not
going to hide that. No, it's not totally going transparent.
Pros, cons, you know, which is it? But I do argue the other way, that part of the reason that we do this is because for us, it's been impactful to be trained to take that seriously, and that we see the difference between what happens with the training, people who have gotten training Mm-hmm. Let me say it differently. People who have gotten competent training.
Correct.
And how they do their career, because there's training. I mean, you can go get a certification with, you know, if you want a piece of paper on your wall, that's available and darn cheap.
Darn cheap.
But the question I always kind of ask myself, and this has been true when I was seeing clients, is, you know, somebody would call and say, hey, this is going on. And I would have to do a gut check. Is this somebody that I am prepared to deal with what they have, mm-hmm. you know, with what's going on with them, with what they're trying to get through? And that was, for me, was a gut check of going, you know what? No, I need to refer out. And it's the same kind of gut check I do now. Am I in an area of my competence, mm-hmm. not of a place I want to be competent, but where I have some competence, not enough. I mean, not to the point where you'd say, I'm never going to stretch. I mean, I think every client stretches.
Sure.
Up, sometimes by surprise.
Yeah. and sometimes that's a deal breaker, you know, too much stretch. Hold that's on. That's a
snap. Right.
Yeah.
But I think that is an important thing of, have we prepared adequately to take it seriously that people are engaging with us over the big issues in their life. People don't go find a coach just because they want to, you know, spend an hour chatting with someone. They're trying to get somewhere. And so I find it obviously important for coaches to do that, both for the profession. So there's the profession piece. There's for us as individuals, as the coaches, to have developed the competencies. And then there are for our clients. I mean, are we really giving the best care for our clients? There's a three-layer, at least as I see it, of the importance of it.
Well, and then there's another reason that I'm a huge fan of coaching and of training for coaches. And this is kind of the backwards approach. So I believe there's such a thing as too much training focus. Like, there are numerous times. So as much as, you know, you and I both want to go join Impact, take training, right? Do that. I will also tell you that I routinely have conversations with people and I go, okay, now stop taking training. Stop. Right. Stop chasing it. The answers, the confidence, the things you're looking for are not going to be in another freaking certificate program. You've got to stop, because the problem isn't the training, it's you. Mm-hmm. And I mean that with love and respect. That's a good thing to identify. It's a good thing to say, oh, this is my issue, right? This is me as a person, my issue. I'm in my own way. But here's where I think training also pays off, that I think people miss, and why I'm very reserved around, you know, giving wholehearted endorsement to people who are not trained, is coach training is one of the most intense personal growth and development programs you can do. You cannot be in coach training and not have your own stuff come up. And if you aren't thinking as a student through the filter of how does this apply to me, how does this apply to my clients, you're missing a really important piece of it, which is coaches are human. Humans have their own little frog in my throat. Humans have their own
they
stuff.
Have their own frogs.
They have their own stuff. Like right now, I'm having a frog. Yeah. But humans have their own stuff. And so it isn't just about getting trained as a coach. It's about how to embody coaching, how to be a coach. And that means you've got to handle a bunch of your own stuff. And so if you duck out on coach training, you are then, in fact, also ducking out on how do I apply this to me? Mm-hmm. How might this grow and evolve me as a person to be a better qualified coach? Not just from a knowledge standpoint, like, oh, I know how to do XYZ method, I must be a good coach, but I've lived that. Man, I know how I felt in that situation. I know how I faced it. And yeah, that isn't easy, right? That's an incredible credibility point in coaching.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I was doing therapy training, you know, we had a different term for stuff. Mm-hmm. It started with an S too, but that you had to deal with your own.
Stuff. I have that term too. I'm just keeping it clean. Yeah.
Well, I thought maybe therapist, you know, it's a little deeper to the uncomfortable.
Right? So it's the same S.
but here's the reason that's so important. If you don't deal with that, you will get stuck on it with a client. You're
yeah,
not
it comes
help
up all over your client.
All over. You're going to get stuck there. And my experience is you will always find clients that will find your stuff for yep. you and point it out.
Clients are really good at bringing your stuff right to the table.
That whenever I've had like a string of clients that are facing some very similar thing, I have to go, okay, where's this me? You know, why yeah. am I in that attraction phase of getting that? And there's another layer of growth that comes along with that.
So part of training is mentoring. And just in a recent mentoring class, I was listening to a session and the coach was very leading, trying not to, which trying in a coaching session is a huge red flag. Hmm. Red flag. I'm trying to get my client to blank, 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 red flag. And so in this particular case, the coach was trying to get the client to a certain conclusion or to take a certain action. And so as I was doing the mentoring process, I said, so if you could just set the coaching aside for a second and just say whatever it is you wanted to say to this client, what would you have said? And the coach trainee said, well, I would tell them that they're crazy for going after that and they should really be going after this instead. And that just seemed like a hopeless thing they were doing. And I went, yes. And that's exactly what you brought to the session is exactly that. You stopped listening, took your opinion, and then tried to lead them to make it their idea. Now, no harm, no foul. I'm not judging anybody. We all have a tendency to do that. And certainly we did that more so when before we were trained, before we really understood the nuances there. And I'm like, yes, that's it. Like mentoring is such an essential conversation. To be mentored around your skill is such an essential piece. I can't imagine not having the benefit of that. So that's why it's another reason I'm a huge advocate of why training is important, because it includes mentoring.
Yeah. And this is the whole process is then a matter, I think, a not so much of do we need training or not, but what that training is going to look like. You know, how are we going to facilitate the training? And is it going to, you know, for instance, I think there's a difference between, for instance, people coming from, let's say, an HR background versus, you know, so they've got some human skill training or a therapy background and crossing over. In some ways, my therapy training, I had to unlearn some ways of interacting and relearn. But there was a skill set, you know, that was a shared thing. And I think that is usually true with most coaches I talk to. They're not starting from zero. You know, they're not starting with no skill set that they're coming into the coach training. But at the same time, there is the uniqueness of that coach training important, that's different than whatever it was they're coming from, HR background or therapy background or consultant background that brings them here.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I will say the number one kind of the example of that is teachers. We get a lot of teachers who become coaches. And of course, they've been advice givers and instructional and informative, you know, but there are certain parts of teaching you have to completely unlearn. But the human part of it, you already come with, like the whole connectivity piece and the desire to help people and all that kind of stuff. You come with that. But yeah, there's pieces to unlearn. And I would say, and people are going to judge me, I would say it's the same with lawyers. We get a lot of lawyers, you know, that convert into coaching. And being somebody's defender or prosecutor is a different thing than being a coach. And so there's some unlearning there to be part of the coaching world, which I think, you know, is what we're saying. Like our bottom line, the way we come, maybe want to wrap this up is that we are advocates for training for a multitude of purposes, but mostly because you deserve it.
Yeah.
Mostly because you as a coach, you deserve to have the best tools and resources to make your job easy and to make it effective. And to be able to then turn that into something that really works for you and works well for your clients too.
Yeah. Well, and since we have impact in the name of our training program, the impact, we're looking for how a coach can be most impactful. Mm-hmm. And the most impactful coaches are the ones who take their training seriously.
Absolutely. So, you know, with that said, if you want to take your training seriously, we would love to help you with that. And that's, I think, one of the things, you know, when you and I were creating Impact, one of the things that was important to me, and I think it's been echoed across every corner of campus, our virtual campus, is it is really about the training you need based on where you are. It's not some just cookie cutter, roll it out program. It's, there are certain parts that I would say every single coach should take. There are certain parts where I'm like, no, if that's not your specialty, don't invest time in that. Right. And if this is where you're at, if you're 10 years in and you're looking for continuing education, here's where continuing education comes in. And so it's a very nice customized process. You know, it's not just standing here and saying, let me point you at the training. Just do that. It's a conversation. We coach people into the right best training for them. And I don't ever intend to change that. And I think that that's also a real testament to the kind of the level of consciousness and awareness that we bring to helping the individual, not just selling training. Right. We're not just advocates of reckless training, like buy more training, because it has to meet you as the listener, right? You as the potential coach, new coach, veteran coach, it has to meet you where you are. So I invite you to come and play with us if you want some more of that.
And the best place to do that is
impactcoaching.academy. Yes, you'll find me there. You'll find me there. You'll find Lee there. You'll find, yeah, there's a bunch of us hanging out there. So come play with us.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll find the courage to coach right there.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being here, Terry. Thanks for a lovely conversation. We'll be back again on our next episode where we'll cover more pieces of being that courageous coach as you make an impact in the world.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us today. Courage to Coach is brought to you by Impact Coaching Academy. Experience ICA with our growing library of free materials, then chart your own specific training plan at impactcoaching.academy. There's more exciting conversation by coaches for coaches on the way with Coach Terry Haynes and Dr. Lee Baucom. Be sure to join us as we support you in your courageous effort to make an impact. I'm Vince Hayes, your humble announcer. Take care.